4:36 on Downtown. Our next guest not only wrote that song, but about 300 others, give or take a few, has sold over 42 million records and has got a brand new book out documenting the whole thing. It's entitled Psychedelic Bubblegum, Boyce and Hart, the Monkees, and Turning Mayhem into Miracles. He's written the book along with Glenn Ballantyne, and we're thrilled to have Bobby Hart back on the show. But it's Bobby, good afternoon.
Hey, Rich, how's it going?
Doing great, and so excited to read the book. It's coming out next week, May 12th, the official release date. And I know this has been an interesting process for you, putting this all together.
It was, you know, stories that I've wanted to tell for a long time in depth, because, you know, when I do interviews like this, I'm talking in punchlines most of the time. So I wanted to get the details and make people feel what I was feeling while I was going through these wonderful experiences, and it was a great process.
Well, and there have been some wonderful experiences, but the book is not just about documenting the highs, but also talking about some of the lows that you've had along the way and how you managed to survive and come out on the other side of those.
Yeah, that was the other thing that I wanted to, I just felt at this point almost an obligation to give back a little bit of some of the things that helped me get through what I got through, some of the things that helped me attain success, and then handle, like you said, the times weren't so, things weren't so good. And so there's a lot of that in there. It's a spiritual journey along with some great music stories.
Well, of course, you got your start. You moved out west, and when you finally hooked up with Tommy Boyce, it was Chubby Checker that really gave you your first entry into chart success. And then was it a bit of a blur after that, that things happened so quickly?
It didn't really take off. We had a couple of hits in New York. I met Tommy back there. He had been writing a bit for a couple of years, and I got a chance to go back and pair up with him again. And we had the Chubby Checker record, and we had come a little bit closer for Gene and the Americans. And it was great to be on the charts, of course, for the first time, but it wasn't a game changer until we got the chance to come back to California, signed with Screen Gems Music, and then had some really tremendous opportunities that led to working with some great television and motion picture projects and also some recording projects.
Now, what people may not know either is when you first began the association with the Monkees, not only were you and Tommy writing the songs, but doing the recording as well, and then they would pull your lead vocals off and allow the guys to add their vocals to it.
Yeah, they were so busy. The four Monkees, they were working 12-hour 14-hour days on the set making these television episodes. And so that Tommy and I would be in the studio putting together the tracks and doing the background parts and having it all ready to go. So we would get either Mickey or Davey, you know, or maybe we'd be lucky to get them over in the studio tonight. So we wanted to have everything ready for them. And they were both such pros, we'd get them on, get their vocals on, teach them the song, you know, in 20 minutes and get their vocals on. And within an hour or so, we'd be out of there.
And then you and Tommy got your chance to be a recording artist yourself with a successful run of top 40 hits. I Wonder What She's Doing Tonight was a big top 10 hit for you. You were on TV shows. You guys were everywhere. At the time, is it easy to lose sight of what's important when these things are happening so quickly in your career?
Well, that's a good point, Rich, because you do. You're just running from one thing to the next. When the Monkees decided that they were going to be in charge of their recording careers and wanted to produce their own records, that was a really nice opportunity for Tommy and I to take a look at our own singing careers, because it's what we both had started out in the business to do. But when that hit, that really was pandemonium, because we were not only producing our own records and records for others, we were writing and we were doing all the things you just mentioned, from television to print media, and touring, personal appearances, and there is a point where we came to a point that it was just, we loved doing it, but the pace of it sped up so quickly, and it was a little overwhelming for a bit.
We're talking with Bobby Hart. His new book is entitled Psychedelic Bubblegum. You and Tommy eventually professionally went your separate ways, but you two always remained very close, and it's hard to believe it's been more than two decades now since Tommy's been gone.
It is, and it was a sad loss at his young age that we had to lose him so soon. But he had a medical problem, aneurysm that broke in his brain, and And he just was never the same after that. And just decided that he'd had enough, basically. Checked out on us.
Now, the name of the book is Psychedelic Bubblegum, and sometimes some of the songs get reduced to that and called Bubblegum, and yet, to me, there's so much more than that. And you turn on the radio any time of the day or night, and there's a pretty good chance you'll hear a voice and heart song out there. And I have to think it gives you a great deal of pride to know that those songs have not only stood the test of time, but that you're drawing a whole new generation of fans with songs that make people smile.
It's cool because of the because of YouTube and all of the social networking and the internet that there's, we find new audiences every year. I went to a monkey concert at the Greek Theater recently with my wife Marianne, and there were a couple of looked like 12, 13 year old girls sitting right in front of us and singing along every word. There's something for audiences of all ages. Of course, they had the grand folks there too, grandparents. But it was funny to see, and I leaned up and I said, "How do you know these songs?" Said, "Oh, we love the monkeys, Teeny Boppers." 50 years later, almost next year, it'll be 50-year anniversary of the beginning of the Monkey Show.
Now, Bobby, also, you guys were very instrumental in working to get the right to vote for people under the age of 21. That 26th Amendment made possible, and you guys did the theme song for that effort as well.
Yeah, like I said, we had quite a few opportunities to do television and motion picture music along with the pop music that we were creating, and that was one of those things where Screen Gems sent us over to meet with the producers of this. They wanted to do a new show, new soap opera, and they wanted a theme song, and we made for what we thought they were asking us for, and they hated it, and we tried it again, they hated it, and so Tommy said, forget that, let's just go back to writing hits. And I said, no, we'll try one more thing. Let's try one more thing. There's a Hammond B3 organ sitting there. I'm just going to sit down. I'm going to play what sounds to me like soap opera music from what I remember from my mother used to listen to on the radio, Well, they loved it, and that's what's been playing for over 50 years now, and 5 days a week on NBC.
And also, you guys were very active on the campaign trail when Bobby Kennedy made his run for president in 1968. As time has changed and politics has changed a great deal, do you see anybody out there or are those days gone when somebody could inspire the kind of passion that Bobby Kennedy had in his followers?
Yeah, that's I don't see it right now, but you never know. You're always thinking somebody's head will come up and they're going to be the one. Because we loved John Kennedy, he was like the movie star president, and we were young, and he was young, and those were great days, and everybody was so disillusioned with his loss, and then so we campaigned for Bobby when he decided to throw his hat in the ring, and then we're so disillusioned following up Martin Luther King's death with RFK's death. It was tough on all of us. What we decided to throw our efforts into was the campaign you mentioned, the Let Us Vote campaign, to lower the voting age to 18. And that was gratifying that we actually had a part in changing the Constitution of the United States. I mean, if we'd have put it in those terms in those days, we'd probably say, "Are you kidding?" But we just said, "Oh, how hard can that be? What do we know?"
Now, you got Mickey Dolenz to write the foreword for the new book, and I also saw on social media that Peter Tork has weighed in as well. From those who have seen it, the reaction seems very positive so far about your book and your reminiscences of those days.
It's been very gratifying because so many people, Leon Russell and Clive Davis and Paul Williams, and tons of people have been saying how much they're loving it, and the fans. For most of the last 3 weeks, book has stayed right at the number one spot on Amazon's subcategory of pop biography new releases, and that's just because of the fans out there and the feedback that we've been getting. So we're very gratified. That's just for pre-orders. So come a week from now, as the book is released, we hope that everybody will take a look at it and hopefully enjoy it.
Are you enjoying here at this point in your life the fact that your work is being recognized not only with the book, but also the movie from a couple of years back, the guys who wrote them, and that not only the new generation, but an appreciation that, you knew it was quality work and it's sold, but the realization that this is lasting music that people will listen to as long as we have something called popular music?
And of course, it's gratifying, and it was unexpected, really. I didn't. You know, when the publisher called us up 3 weeks ago and said, "How did you do that? You know, how are you number one on Amazon?" And I said, "It's totally the fans. You know, I didn't know I had any fans left. I didn't know." I did a radio show yesterday where they had a call-in contest, and the guy said, "Look at the way the board is lighting up. You know, we don't get that normally." And I said, "You know, this is just a gift from God and from the wonderful fans that still remember and still keep this music alive by playing it and listening to it. And it's a wonderful experience for me."
Well, I'm looking forward to not only reading the book and getting some of those memories, but also from everything people are saying. It's also a very inspirational book about how to deal with tough times, how to find, as you put it, your pole star and move on and end things with a positive outlook on life.
Yeah, the other great thing about the writing process was it was easy for me to see, looking back from hindsight, the patterns and what worked, and the things that the mistakes I made, and what the repercussions of that, and then the fact that if I had gotten discouraged, if I had given up earlier, if I had gotten frustrated and mad at people that I thought had done things that were not taking things my direction, I would have just gotten better at being angry and frustrated, you know. I decided early on that I would just pick myself up and I would never play the blame game and that I would keep my mind positive. And so, but some of the tricks that I learned along those way, on the way doing those kinds of things, I think are still valuable today. And so I'm sharing those in the book, and hopefully they'll help people with their own journey.
The book is entitled Psychedelic Bubblegum, Voice and Heart, The Monkees, and Turning Mayhem into Miracles. Bobby Hart, always a treat to talk with you. Thanks for joining us this afternoon. We wish you much success with the book and a continued good health to you.
Thank you, Rich. It's been my pleasure, and all the best to you.
That's Bobby Hart here on Downtown. Again, the book coming out next.